We continue our reading of 1 Samuel. Today we come to chapter 9. I'm going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 to 27. It's actually a story that continues pretty far into chapter 10, so I'm going to be ending up stopping in the middle of the story, but it will be all right. Now, the story is about Saul, the son of Kish. Now, you remember that in the previous chapter, the people of Israel, they saw Samuel, the judge, is getting old. His sons aren't very impressive. He can't last them much longer. And they make a request, give us a king like the other nations. This is not the thing we should be asking of God. We want to be like everybody else. We want the, and they wanted peace, they wanted security, they wanted victory. And they looked around and said, what's really working out there is to have a mighty king, a really impressive guy, and we can rely on him. And Samuel is grieved by this because he knows it's idolatry, it's a renouncing of God, and the Lord admits that. But the Lord resolves on one of the harshest judgments we can ever receive. God gives us what we want. And what they want is foolish and it's worldly. And here we meet the man. We're at a transition now from Samuel's going. He's still going to be around a little while, but not much longer. And enter the scene, Saul, the son of Kish, who's going to be the king of Israel. Now, verse 2 gives his primary qualifications. You're going to be very impressed. He was handsome, and he was tall. Now, I will admit, being tall and handsome will get you pretty far in the world, but not for good reasons, and certainly not in the church. But here we have a reliance upon the things of the flesh, the things that please the eye. And is it not true that we're so prone to that? Oh, a charismatic personality can go far in the church, whether or not he's a man of God or is moved by the Holy Spirit. How prone we are to want to be like the world. And, of course, that very assumption assumes that we don't have a God. But we do have a God. We have a covenant-keeping God. And this chapter is going to reveal in great detail the sovereignty of God. We don't need to be driven by the carnal things of the world. We're to be motivated by the things of God. Well, that's not going to happen with Saul. Now, you have an interesting story here. And in fact, even kind of the tawdriness of the story is a commentary on Saul. His father has lost some donkeys. Saul and some servants, a servant go out looking for him. They can't find him. They're kind of bumbling around. The picture here is not of a man of discernment, certainly not of spiritual discernment. But by God's providence, they arrive at the town where Samuel the judge is. In fact, there's a very interesting comment here. You'll hear it when I read it, where whoever put 1 Samuel together, we don't know. He says he was Samuel the seer. Oh, by the way, what we call prophets used to be called seers, a seer. And it reminds us that the prophets, for the most part, received visions, even the later prophets. One of their main things was they received visions from God, and he's actually known for that. And so Saul comes bumbling in, and you have to feel sorry for Samuel. He spent his whole life, he's one of the greatest men of the Bible. We're not told that much about him, but he restored true faith, at least in some measure. He led the people faithfully. Israel had been delivered from their enemies. And now he's going to leave the scene, and it's this man who's going to follow him. And what's worse, God's going to tell him, oh, this Saul's going to come. And you're going to anoint him king of Israel. Now, we won't actually see that until chapter 10. I'm going to stop in the middle of the story, but it will work all right. But you feel sorry for Samuel. So what do you do? Here's where I want to go. If you're Samuel, and you've invested your life in this. It's the church. It's the people of God. And now the people, they're not being wise at all, and they're being very idolatrous. And now God is going to judge them by taking this worldly man, and he's got all the worldly strength, and he'll do all right for a while, but not in the long run. And God tells you that you're anointing him as king. I'll tell you what you do. You obey the command of the Lord. And that's how Samuel, at the end here, he's going to obey the command of the Lord. He's going to do what God called him to do, and he's going to do it pretty wholeheartedly. Again, he can't be enjoying having this buffoon show up before him, and he's going to bestow him the honors of it. But the chapter ends. This is not a bad place to stop on the way. He says, stop here yourself for a while, Saul, that I may make known to you the word of God. We can always obey God's word. And we can always proclaim God's word. This is going to be a dark chapter for Israel. but it will not be the end. God's grace, God's sovereign grace will see them through. Well, with those things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. Now there was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulder upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of the young men with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. And he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Sha'alim, but they did not find them there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, but did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuth, Saul said to his servant who was with them, come, let us go back, lest my father cease to care about the donkeys and become anxious about us. But he said to him, behold, there is a man of God in this city, and he is a man who is held in honor. And all that he says comes true. So now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered Saul again, here I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was, and they went up the hill to the city. And as they went, they met a young woman coming out to draw water, and said to them, is the seer here? They answered, he is. Behold, he is just ahead of you. Hurry. He's come just now to the city, because the people have a sacrifice today on the high place. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat till he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately. So they went up to the city, and as they were entering the city, they saw Samuel coming out towards them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord revealed to Samuel, tomorrow, about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people, because their cry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people. Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, where is the house of the seer? Samuel answered Saul, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's house? Saul answered, am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel, and is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way? Then Samuel took Saul and his young man and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited, who were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion I gave you, of which I said to you, put it aside. So the cook took up the leg and what was on it and set them before Saul. And Samuel said, see, what was kept is set before you. Eat, because it was kept for you until the hour appointed that you might eat with the guests. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they came down from the high place into the city, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul on the roof, up that I may send you on your way. So Saul arose, both he and Samuel went up out into the street. And as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to pass on before us, and when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.